It's good to see you. Good to see the church being, you know, nearly full. It's great, isn't it? And that's how it should be. And it's wonderful to see you all here this morning, despite the weather. We have put the heating on, although that corner hasn't been heated because it was set to Monday rather than Sunday. So there we go. I saw, you know, why isn't it working? Anyway, it might heat up during the service. So anyway, I think it's all right, isn't it? So a very big welcome, a big welcome to Nola, who's going to bring us the word this morning. And just a few notices. Next week here I'm preaching. It's Bible Sunday, so that'll be my theme for next week. And at Bethlehem we've got All Together Worship with Lorraine. And I'm sure that's going to be a good occasion, a great occasion. A reminder, we have our church council here on Thursday at 7:30. Everybody's welcome from Bethesda. You're all very welcome to come and see how we've been going and where we should be going. An early reminder for church council, if you would like tea or coffee before the meeting, then Nola's going to be on duty in the meeting room, and we'll be providing the coffee. Lovely. Just a reminder, on Remembrance Sunday, we won't be having a service here. We're going to St. Peter's, and I think St. Mary's are going to Bethlehem against St. Mary's. Right. Marilyn, could you come and read this letter for me, please?
These two things. Okay. A letter to Mary from... Oh, it's to both churches. Okay. Okay. Okay, sorry, I haven't seen any of this, so... Dear Mary and all at Bethlehem, thank you so much for your harvest donation this year and the £50 cash donation. This is always such a boost to our supply and stock for the Grace Trust Food Bank. Thank you for your concern for those struggling in Jersey right now, and we, of course, seeing a good number of people coming our way. For some, it may be the first time that they've had to find out where Lewis Street is. Thankfully, we can help them each, and every time people come along, 40% of some nearly 500 individuals and households we helped last year, we saw no more than twice. For some, it is very different, and we can see them at least once a fortnight through the course of the year. So for us, to have a good supply of food and financial assistance proves that there is a caring church community at the heart of Jersey. We had 3,325 visits to the food bank last year. All of our projects continue, our Saturday lunches, art in the park, park life singing, our separate monthly grocery distribution project, our Grace Trust cook days, and of course our base in Lewis Street where the kettle is always on, and anyone and everyone is welcome. We reckon that through the course of a year in all our projects and food bank, we see and help at least 750 people. We would struggle to reach this many without your support. In every sense, this wonderful, some working, some not, sad, funny, hurting, struggling, bewildered, chaotic community are all part of your congregation too. Also, and more importantly, we know that harvest time is a time of recognising where our provision truly comes from, acknowledging what the Lord has done. May you be blessed this season as a church and individually, and may you ponder anew what the Almighty can do. In Jesus' name, Vinny. That's lovely, isn't it? And this is from Molly. To the friends at Bethlehem, many thanks. I think she means Bethesda as well, but anyway. Yes, many thanks for the lovely harvest gift. The flowers and were beautiful, showing the... something skills... The arranger's skills, that's what it is. The arranger's skills. They look so nice on my windowsill. Once again, many thanks with love from Molly. And those of us who know Molly very well know that arranging flowers was one of her absolute skills, wasn't it? Okay, so that's it, I think.
Are there any other notices? Oh, Chris.
with my safeguarding hat on, and apologies to all our Bethlehem friends. There is to be a connectional audit of safeguarding in November, so we need to try and dot all the I's and cross all the T's for all the things we should and shouldn't do. We need to complete key holder forms. So if you have a key for either the church, the hall, or the meeting room, or you know the number for the key safe, and I know everybody's groaning, and it's a very simple form to fill in, I promise you. Can you see me after the service and I will give you a form? It will then be kept locked up. You will get a copy of it. As I'm not going to be here the next few Sundays, if you haven't done it today, could you please hand it to Sue and she will pass it on to me. And I know it seems a big job, but and we all think Jersey's safe and we don't like to think of anything happening in our churches, but when Connection makes a procedure to try and keep everybody safe, they can't say, you know, everybody's got to sign it but those lovely people in Jersey. We all have to join in order to make it work. So just think that you're safeguarding somebody in Manchester or Birmingham or London, and we would all want to keep everybody safe wherever they are. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Right. Any birthdays? Ooh. Oh. Charlotte. And Ina's had her birthday. She's just left. Well, she's going to have it, so this week. So she's just left, so we've got Isla as well. So Charlotte, anybody else? No, we'll sing happy birthday to Charlotte then.
Yes, I have had to like increase the text size because I left my glasses at home. But in Isaiah 40, we can read these words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. So we're going to wait upon the Lord this morning as we hear from Nola later from God's Word, and as we raise our voices to him in praise and worship. So I invite you to stand, if you're able, as we sing. Lord God, we do indeed bring a sacrifice of praise to you this morning. We bring our hearts before you, and we lift our hands to you. We bring our very selves. All that you have done for us. Our hearts are full of thanks. And may our lives reflect your glory and your love and your power in this place, in our relationships, in our church, in this island. For we know you are a faithful God, a God who answers prayer, a God who listens to our cries, a God who strengthens us when we call out your name. We thank you for the many things that you've done in our lives. We thank you for
your presence in our life, even just this last week. So in the silence, we think of something that we want to say thank you to you, Lord. Something personal to us. Where you have worked in our lives, where you have shown us something new of you. And so because of your great love, because of the comfort that you bring us, for the way that you wrap your arms around us and envelop us in your love, may we always be singing your praises, Lord, and always give thanks to you. Amen.
Amen. Our offering will now be received.
Revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to the paradise. He heard inexpressibly things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, and I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just wanted to share with you. I don't know how many of you know that my husband has gone through cancer of the esophagus, which is quite a big operation, but I felt at this time it was a time to share, because as the persistent widow carried on, persistent prayer I know has been going on with everyone. And we went last Wednesday to Southampton to see the consultant, and he's given Jimmy the all clear. So thank you, and thank you to God. Thank you. Thank you, God.
How lovely to get that good news. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing, "Pray without ceasing, pray. Your captain gives the word. His summons cheerfully obey and call upon the Lord." Last week's lesson was about 10 lepers whose prayers were answered. says Judge had neither. And I can imagine the people in the crowd, as Jesus was talking, were saying, ah, yes, I've heard of some like him. Because some of the judges were appointed by Herod Antipas, and some were appointed by the Roman occupiers, and they were corrupt. The judgment would depend on who gave the largest bribe. Well, this man, he didn't care. He didn't care about what was right. He didn't care about what happened to the victim. He didn't even care about his own reputation. He wasn't bothered. And this poor widow, who probably needed money desperately, wanted his help. And he couldn't be bothered with that because he was so lazy as well. And once again, he didn't care who he was. But the woman kept on. She pestered him and pestered him and pestered him. And as that reading that Doreen read for us said, he started to joke about it and almost say, well, if I don't do something for her soon, she might come and attack me. But he was only joking. And of course, eventually, to get a bit of peace, he did what she wanted. And some people think that this lesson is saying to us, you have to nag at God in order to get what you want. But it's not saying that at all. It's saying, contrast this wicked judge with Almighty God, who is absolutely right and just and fair, and who has great compassion upon his people. And he says that even if somebody as wicked as this judge will answer the people who cry to him, how much more will Almighty God answer the prayers of his people when they come to him? And God, of course, is not lazy as this man was. If we'd read Psalm 121 today, we would have read about a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but watches over his people all of the time. The lesson does go on to hint to us that there will come a time when the church suffers, and Jesus at the end of that passage says, when I come back, will I find people who are faithful in prayer? Well, when he comes back, let's hope that he finds vast numbers who are faithful in prayer. What we're looking at today is this. Why is it that sometimes God doesn't answer prayers in the way that we think he should? Sometimes he doesn't answer prayers at the time when we think he should. And sometimes he doesn't seem to answer our prayers at all. So what can we say about this? And I want to start off with a story that some of you will have heard me talk about when I first came to Birmingham, but honestly, I've not mentioned it in the last 15 years. So I think I can tell you again. I learned a very big lesson about prayer when I was living back in Birmingham. And near to where I lived, there was a nice piece of woodland. It had a horrible name. It was called Moseley Bog, and that's what the name was on the map. And the reason it had such a horrible name was because in the 18th century, it used to be a mill pond to supply water for a local water mill. And when the water mill ceased to operate, the dam was broken down, the water was allowed to flow away into the River Cole, but the middle of it, the middle of the old pond, remained very muddy and boggy. But nature took over. All sorts of trees grew. They seemed to have planted themselves. Wildflowers grew. And there was an abundance of different species of bird living in this woodland. One day I sat down to write how many different species I'd seen, and I got to 30. So it gives you some idea of what this woodland was like. It had two little streams flowing through it. it was an enchanting place, a place of adventure where you could easily get lost. One day, a lady who lived around the corner from me came to see me. "Bad news," she said. "There's been a planning application. The council wants to build houses on the bog, and we think it should be preserved as a local amenity." So a large group of people got together with a lady named Joy to guide us all. And it was felt that the first step must be to organise a petition. Well, it wasn't difficult to get the first 1,000 names on the petition from friends and relatives, neighbours, people who lived around. So we got the first 1,000, no trouble. But we needed a lot more than that. So what were we going to do next? And the village carnival was due to be held. Well, I had been visiting Jersey, and I had seen the Battle of Flowers a time or two. So I knew a little bit about carnivals. Obviously, we couldn't hope to copy anything like the Battle of Flowers do. But nonetheless, we hired a lorry. And I'll tell you, lorry drivers are wonderful with ropes and tying things together. And we got all sorts of greenery from our gardens, and we decorated up this lorry. And we got as many children as we could from the neighbourhood to dress up. And we had robins, and we had mice, and we had foxes, and we had rabbits. And we had all these people on the float, and it went off in the carnival with a big banner on the back saying "Save Our Bog." And somebody thought we were trying to save the Victorian toilets in the middle of the village. But anyway, while this procession went on, we went amongst the crowds and vastly increased the size of our petition. But it still wasn't quite big enough. So the next thing that we did, we invited Bill Oddie to come along. Now, Bill Oddie, as you'll know from the goodies, is very keen bird watcher. So he was very happy to come along and give us a bit of publicity. And he enjoyed himself looking at all these birds down there in the woodlands. And of course, he allowed the press to come and take photographs. So that gave us a little bit more publicity. And then the next thing we did for a bit of publicity was somebody who wrote a comic song, kindly wrote a comic song for us and came along and performed it in the planning office. Along with the press, of course, to take photographs and give us some publicity. And so we sang to the planning office. Well, eventually, our petition reached 9,000 names. So the great day came when we could go to the council offices and we could present our petition. Well, the council and the planning department thought, if 9,000 people are concerned about this little piece of woodland, perhaps we'd better go and have a look at it. So the day was appointed when they should come. It was to be a Tuesday afternoon. There was a bus to pick up people from the planning department and the council who wanted to come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they would arrive there about 2:15. I couldn't go to meet them because I was working, but the leader of our group, Joy, she was there, and one or two others to show them the way down the path and into the woodland. That Tuesday arrived. It was grey and it was overcast. I prayed, oh how I prayed, "Dear Lord, please let the sun come out so that when they come, they can see the woods as beautiful as they are, so they can see it was springtime, so that they can see all the spring green on the trees, so that they can see all the wildflowers, so that they can hear the birds singing. Dear Lord, please send the sunshine so that they can see it at its best. And if they see it at its best, surely they won't want to build houses upon it." How I prayed. as the morning went on, the sky grew darker. And my prayers became more fervent. Dear Lord, stop this rain. If they see it in the rain, oh, everywhere will look bedraggled. Oh, it won't be lovely. Please, Lord, please send the sunshine. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed all morning, and the sky got blacker and blacker, and the rain bucketed down. And by 12 o'clock, oh, the rain was torrential. And I thought, they won't come. They won't come in weather like this. Who would want to go trampling round woodland in all of this rain? And it carried on. It rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. I was working. I didn't know what had happened. I couldn't wait till the evening. I got on the phone. I rang up Joy. I said, what happened? Did they come? Did they get out of the bus, or did they just sit there on the edge of the road and peer out the window and think, what are all these people talking about? There's nothing here much to see. Oh no, she said, no. She said, they came with Wellingtons and Macintoshes and umbrellas, she said. And out they got, and they went down the path, and they went and they had a look at the woodlands, and everywhere they went was muddy. Mud, mud, mud. Absolutely everywhere. And you know what they said? They said, we can't build here. It's too muddy. And how I gave thanks that God had not answered my prayers in the way that I hoped that he would. And the outcome of the story is that the council took over the land. They extended a bit to one side. They made it much, much safer. And I went to have a look at it about 18 months ago. And I tell you, it's lovely. It's now a local amenity. People walk their dogs there. And not only that, but because J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, lived just down the road from there when he was a lad, some of the stories of that wood appear in The Lord of the Rings, and people who are hobby fans sometimes turn up to tramp around at Moseley Park and imagine that they are in the scenes that appear in that book. So I was very glad that God didn't answer the prayers the way I had asked. I'd like to say to you this next, that when God does answer prayers, he always gets his timing right. I'd like to remind you of a story that some of us looked at in our Bible class a few weeks ago about when Peter was in prison and Herod Agrippa had seized him and put him in prison, and his intention was to bring out Peter for trial and public execution the day after the Passover finished. And of course, when Peter was arrested, the church got together and prayed. And they prayed and they prayed. They prayed night and day. One of the apostles had already been beheaded, and they expected that something similar would happen to Peter. And they prayed and they prayed. And you might say, why didn't God answer their prayers as soon as they started praying? But God got his timing right. God didn't send the angel to release Peter from prison until a few hours before he was due to be brought out for his public trial and execution. Because if God had brought him out sooner, what would have happened? The members of the Christian church would have been arrested, interrogated, possibly tortured, in order to find out where Peter had escaped to. But because God didn't rescue him until the very last minute, there was nothing much that Herod could do about it. God got his timing right. tell you about a young surveyor. He was a very contented man. He had good health. He liked his job. He was studying to pass all his exams and become fully qualified. The exams were going well. His career was progressing fine. He had a nice girlfriend. He was looking forward to buying a house and getting married. And one of his colleagues tried to talk to him about God. And he said, "But what do I want to know about God for?" He said, "I have everything I want." He said, "And what I haven't got," he said, "I'm going to plan for and work for. So why do I need God to tell me what to do or to help me along?" He said, "I can plan for it. And it'll all work out the way I want." Well, it did. He passed his exams. He bought his house. He got married. And as far as I know, he lived happily ever after. But Jesus said how hard it is for people who seem to have everything they want, or people who are rich, how hard it is for them to enter into the kingdom of God. And sometimes I think that God allows bad things to happen to good people simply in order that they would turn to Him for His help. Sandra read to us that lesson about St. Paul. And you think, if anybody in this world deserved to have his prayers answered, Paul did. And we read that Paul was suffering from something. We don't know what it was that he was suffering from. Some people think it was malaria, some people think it was migraines. We just don't know. But he was suffering from something. And how he prayed to Almighty God to take away this problem that he was suffering from. Can't you imagine him thinking, "Lord, haven't I suffered enough?" Because we do read about the beatings that he suffered, the floggings that he had, the time he was shipwrecked, the times he was cold and hungry and worried about the church and all the rest of it. Hadn't he suffered enough, you might think? And then there's that other thought. He must have said, "Lord, if I wasn't suffering from this, if I wasn't ill, look, I could be out preaching more, I could be out teaching more, I could be out telling other people all about you. Lord, why do you let me suffer like this? Why don't you take it away?" And I think any of us who've been in pain for a long time or suffered from prolonged illness will sympathise absolutely with Paul, saying, "Lord, take it away." And Sandra read to us how Paul begged upon the Lord to take away his problem. And what did God say? "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul realized that in his weakness, he had to depend upon God. When he wasn't weak, he could depend upon his own strength and his own capabilities. But this illness that he had taught him that he needed to depend upon God. And it is when we depend upon God that we are the strongest. When we don't depend on our own strength and on our own capabilities, but when we depend upon Him, that is when we have full strength. You will not be surprised to know at my time of life that it's some years since my father died. But when he was alive, I used to go and visit him. I wanted to see him, of course. And when I would go and visit him, I would want to know how he was and what he'd been doing. And he But I never went to see him to ask him for anything. I went to see him because I wanted to see him. I wanted to be with him. And often our prayers are a long list of things that we hope the Lord will do for us, or for other people, or for this world of ours. And of course, in a little while, we'll be having our prayers of intercession. But our prayers are for a lot more than that. They're so that we can have time with God, so that we can find out His will for our lives and how we spend our days. It's so that we can experience His peace, so that we can know His love surrounding us. And it's so that we can come to Him in thankfulness. Thankfulness for all that He has done for us so far. Because when we come in thankfulness, and when we spend time with Him, then it is that we can look to the future with hope and with confidence. The one who has looked after us in the past will look after us in the future. So it may be that God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we hope that He will. It may be that He doesn't answer our prayers at the time that we think He should. It may even be that He allows bad things to happen to us. But let's always remember that God knows best, and that His timing will be right. His answers will be right, and whatever He does will be the very best possible for all of us. Amen. We're going to sing again now with And so we turn to a time of prayer. The Old Testament reminds us and commands us indeed that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which we always do. And of course we also pray for peace in the whole of the Middle East, and we continue to pray for peace between Ukraine and Russia. But the New Testament commands us that we should pray for kings and for those in authority over us. So today we remember that King Charles will soon be going as Supreme Head of the Church of England to meet the Pope and to pray together. So we remember King Charles in our prayers. But also, as regards local government, most of you will know that Robert McRae is going to be sworn in as the new Bailiff of Jersey during this coming week. And a lot of you will know him because he has been seen sitting here in this congregation when he's visited George and Sheila, his mum and dad, and he has come along with them. So we will pray for wisdom for him in his time of office. So I'm going to start the prayers off, and then I'm going to leave you to pray for any other matter that you think should be prayed about, any person who needs our prayers. And then after that, of course, we will join together and say the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving. We give you thanks for the good news of Doreen's husband being healed. We give you thanks that the group that went to Israel have come back safely. We give you thanks for all the mercies of the last week. We give you thanks for everything that makes our lives good. We give you thanks that you are a listening God, and that you hear our prayers. And we give you thanks for prayers that have been answered in the past, not always in the way that we have expected or at the time that we have expected, but Lord, you have been faithful to us. And now, Lord, we come to you and we fulfill some of the commands of the Bible. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for peace in the Middle East. We pray, Lord, for peace between Russia and Ukraine. We pray, Lord, for all those who work for peace and